Sunday to be good together with all of you. And today we're doing a few special things because once a year we need to do it. We're having our annual parish meeting and we're making this as maintenance-free as possible as far as an administrative meeting goes. So shortly, just before the potluck, we'll have some elections, and what we're going to do today is elect our deputies to the annual council. One deputy, one alternate. And then you also hear from me a very engaging report, which is what we're going to do right now at this moment. So I'm going to share with you a few things about St. Francis and about what God, I think, is up to among us and how that's going to go during this year. So what I'm going to do is refer to some notes because there's various details that I want to make sure we get. And I just happen to have those notes right here. There we go. All right. As we look back on 2014, what we have is a year of sharpening our focus. It's really, I think, the overall thing that happened. And you'll recall we spent a lot of time, especially over the summer and into the fall, where we redid our vision, our statement of vision, which is inviting the community into the family of God, you know, the surrounding community. We also refined our values and did just, I thought, a great job with that, where we focused on loving God and loving neighbor, and we unpacked all of that. And we're going to see that that's our target. Where those two things intersect, that's the bullseye, you might say, of what we're aiming for. We also began developing new vehicles for ministry. So we had our vision, our values, and then our vehicles for ministry. And we developed, as you will also recall, some groups for ministry, a group reaching into the park right over here, the garden, which has begun right in the field over here. And also we've begun enhancing, encouraging the outreach to Lynmore, which, of course, is no more called Lynmore, is it? Symphony. Okay. Well, very good. Okay. Excellent. But that's still going once a month. So we have those three areas of outreach. What's very, very significant about those areas of outreach is that they came from you. They all came from you. That it wasn't me coming up with some ideas because we need new ideas. It was you. At the prompting of God, at the moving of the Spirit of God, because you put yourself into the position where the Spirit of God could begin tapping you on the shoulder and just moving you ahead. So that's where those came from. And they are supported by our leadership huddles. And we always have some leadership huddles going. Some of them finish, some of them start, and we're going to be starting some new very soon. A leadership huddle puts you into the position to answer what God is asking you to do in a very strong way. So that's why we keep doing that. And then in addition to that, we've continued to develop our music ministry, although I've messed up the beat on that last one. But nonetheless, we continue to develop our music ministry. And it's going quite well. I'm having a great time. Also, we've lost some of our members through death, sadly, as well as some of them moved away, moved out of town. Some of them decided to move on to other congregations. But we've also gained new families. And we've gained new families from our relationship with the businesses in the community, particularly the Aspire Dance Company, and also new families that had previously been with us coming back. So we've seen quite a bit of shift and change that way, quite a bit of up and down for a congregation this size. We've also seen the commitments that we have with each other deepen, I think, very significantly. Our commitment to worship together. So when we come together, we're worshiping quite deeply, more deeply all the time. And also when we move together in fellowship, there's an outreach component with that, which I think goes quite well. I personally continue to keep my half-time commitment. You know, I'm half-time vicar, priest, person, guy, whatever it is, half-time. And I continue to keep that commitment. And I carry that commitment out. I fill up that time with this, developing leaders, because that's where the ministry is coming from. I preach and preside every week. I preside at the vestry meeting once a month. I see to the pastoral needs of our members as they arise. Develop relationships between St. Francis and the community, particularly through the businesses in this immediate community, which is where the dreams of the people who live here are really coming forward. I volunteer in the music ministry, other congregational special events, just like you do, portion of what I do to volunteer. Publish a weekly newsletter, continue with the diocesan obligations that I'm supposed to keep up, and all of that. So that's what I do with my time. And I mean, it's more than half time. Well, I could answer it this way. I'm usually not getting up thinking, well, what am I going to do today? So, but that goes quite well. A lot of the use of my time is really aimed at where my strengths are, where my gifts are. And a lot of you do other things where your gifts are and your strengths. And I think that that's a dynamic that's going to increase as we go along in this year. As I mentioned to you from time to time, you cannot see all that Jesus is revealing through one person. It takes the whole congregation to see the whole gospel and the whole revelation of Jesus as he desires to do it. And in that way, we are equal. What Jesus will reveal through you as much as anyone else, including me, who he is to us, what he desires for us to do, the lead that he's taking us in. All of that is absolutely true. And that's where we, from time to time, emphasize the fivefold gifts. Some of us are apostolic, some of us prophetic, some of us evangelistic, some of us pastoral, some of us are teachers. Some of you are more pastoral than I am, and you know who you are. You're a great gift to this congregation, and it's part of the way that Jesus is revealed to each other. And that's wonderful. I want to increase that more and more so we see all of him all the time. What we want to do is to continue developing new vehicles for ministry stemming from you. So this is my promise to you. It's one of my highest priorities. If you think God's tapping you on the shoulder to start something, especially to reach some people in this community that no church is touching, I am completely behind you. And a big part of my job is I'm going to find other people who want to join with you in that. And we start finding a rhythm for you and that team to be able to fulfill that call, to reach those people, to do what God wants you to do. And each group will be a little different in its rhythm. But that will become who we are. That's salvation bubbling up through us into the community, inviting the community into the family of God. And it'll come through you. You won't have to do that all by yourself. You won't have to do that in a way that is intimidating for you. We'll always be looking for ways for you to do that together with other people. And I will give everything I know how to give into that. Also, we continue with the leadership huddles, because that's one of the great ways that happens. A leadership huddle really helps you get a hold of what a lifestyle of discipleship is, instead of adding something onto your schedule that you can't fit anything else into. It's what's your lifestyle like in following Jesus, and then it's encouraging one another in that. So we'll continue doing that. I think by the end of this year, some of you will be leading huddles in addition to me. Going that, and that'll be an excellent way to go. The thing with new vehicles for ministry and leadership development like this is that it is no cost or very little cost financially to St. Francis. It's almost nothing. You don't have to go out and hire staff or whatever else or all kinds of other things that are very, very costly. Instead, when we start paying attention to what God's saying, and then taking steps, encouraging one another to do it, we move along, increasing ministry, and at a very, very minimal financial cost. That is how the ministry will multiply in this area. It is also how we will be able to touch people that no other church is touching, the ones that God is working on and he's prepared for to join in with us. Very, very powerful way of going ahead. We'll also continue with our excellent efforts to do things for people in need, as we have been doing, like Caritas, Christmas Mother, YMCA backpacks, other things I've forgotten, supporting the staff at the free clinic and so forth, other events. We'll just keep going with that and going more so and better and deeper with all that. And then we'll continue building relationships with businesses like the Aspire Dance Academy, which has been very fruitful, and others as well. Now, all of that, I think, points to something that is in some ways astounding, in other ways it's where we stand. It's that God has plans for St. Francis. And it's been on my mind for some time, this verse from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And when Jeremiah spoke that to Israel, things were very bleak for the nation of Israel. Things were about almost as low as they could have gotten in the history of that nation. The reason for that is the Babylonians attacked Israel with this huge army, kidnapped everyone who remained alive, took them out of their homes, and carted them off to Babylon, where they remained in exile and were not permitted to leave. The whole nation was there. It's called the Babylonian exile. It's part of the book of Daniel and so forth. It's where Daniel did a lot of his exploits. He was under that exile. Now that's bleak. That is very bleak. They were there for 70 years like that. Several generations. And not long after they got there, Jeremiah gets this message from God, where God says to them, seek the welfare of the city, build your businesses, marry Babylonians, have families, do everything you can to build this place up. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were an Israelite, I'd have been at least mad at Jeremiah for telling me something like that. But I wanted to go home. Get back to my roots. Speak Hebrew. Things like that. But no, God said, no, do this. Build this up. And he said, the reason for this is, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for hope and for a future. And we are not in that same situation. It's not nearly as dire for us. But as you know, and as we've shared, we're not in the same comfortable situation in the U.S., in the Christian church, as we were, say, even 30 years ago. And we need to be able to be responding to that. And part of the response comes from God. God speaking to us, where God says to us, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for hope. Plans for a future. Now, we've mentioned that one of the things that makes it difficult for us sometimes where we trip is that we begin to act like a different not-for-profit organization or a commercial business or a retail business. We come up with a strategic plan and we set goals and come up with the person to lead it, you know, the right person in the right place, the rainmaker or whatever. And well, you know how I think about that. It's not a workable manner of a church to move ahead today. There was a short time in our history where that worked. Most of us grew up in that time. But today, that's no longer the case. And it's a different plan. And the plan is the plan that God has for us. Where God says, I know the plans I have for you. They're his plans for us. So, how do we get a hold of that plan? And we've already begun to see some of that. It's releasing new groups from you that bubble up from within your faith. It is also developing and increasing leaders, using new leadership huddles, encouraging us to each other to do things for those in need. That's the general plan, to move ahead that way. How do we go ahead with that? How do we get a hold of it? And there is a word that I think comes to mind that will define us for this year. And that word is this: absorption. Absorption. We absorb the presence of God. And as we do that, we bear fruit. One of the words used in the Bible for that is abiding. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Very few of us know what abiding actually is. I mean, do you use the word abide in your everyday conversation?
The dude abides.
Yeah, well, okay. The dude didn't make it this morning. Well, you don't ask people, where do you abide? You don't ask, where do you live? You know, what neighborhood are you in? Things like that. We never use abide. But absorb is the same thing. It's the same idea as abide in the scriptures. So what we do is we engage God, and we engage God here directly, together, in worship, seeing him directly, sensing his presence together, seeing him as we lift up our songs and all that. And then together in fellowship, we see him through each other, as we've mentioned several times. You will see Jesus through each other. And as you do that, you will be absorbing his presence, which will be a way that you bear fruit. And then together in outreach, when you see God in the community and you respond to that, you just go with that, you will be absorbing the presence of Jesus and so bearing fruit, which is what God wants. That's God's plan for us, that we bear much fruit. And so the posture we have, the way that we go about that is by absorbing the presence of God every moment of every day. It's what our values bring us to, the values that we worked on earlier in the year. It is the practice of loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. It's up to God and horizontal with each other and our neighbor. You see that's a cross. It's also a crosshairs. That's the target right in the middle, where we love God with all we have, and we seek him in each other and in everyone around us. Doing that, being that way, taking that attitude of our heart, is what opens us up to absorb the presence of God wherever we are. And then he starts moving us. He starts forming us. He starts shaping us. Things start bubbling up from our hearts that others then can join in with, and we start moving ahead into the community in ways we hadn't thought of before. We do that by seeking after God, absorbing his presence as we go. It's as we go. It's a lifestyle that we are called to, a manner of living. No matter where you are, what you're doing. So, this is what I'm going to ask you to consider as the commitment of your life. Would you commit seeking after God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength this year, and loving your neighbor as yourself? And we do that this way. Would you look for God every time you walk into this room? Every song that we start singing together, would you look for the presence of God? Every time we gather, right here. Make that a priority. You don't have to come in and announce, hey, I'm looking for the presence of God. It's just within your heart. So God, I want to see you today. I want to see you. I want to engage with you. And then Every time you're in fellowship, no matter where it is, you're with others, other Christians, other people from St. Francis, if you would just say, God, these people, they're my friends. I've known them for so long. I want to see you in them. I want to see you through them. You would make that your commitment every time. And then when it's outreach time, whatever that outreach might be, however small or large it might be, say, Lord, I want to see you there. I want to see you in the lives of those we're reaching out to. When I go, I'm looking for you. I want to see you. Would you show me yourself? And let his presence just be absorbed into you when you're up to God, into the fellowship, and out to the world. And let that just be what happens with you each time. And then the fruit will come. And then would you respond to what he asks? When you're engaging with him, he'll ask you to do something. And you might think, oh, that's too small. Well, if God asked you, it's not too small. Just go ahead and do whatever it is. Any tiny step, any big step. And if you need help, we'll help. Call me. Well, if I can't help you, I'll find somebody who can. We'll do what we need to do together to be able to do what God asks us to do. And for that to keep going, this is my commitment to you. I will do everything I know how to do, everything I'm going to learn that I don't know today. I will do all of that to encourage us together in worship, so that every time we walk into this room, we engage the Spirit of God at a level that we hadn't before. Doesn't matter if you had an argument driving in, or what was going on, or how you feel, or anything, that would happen every time. And I also, my priority is to encourage leaders in huddles, where we encourage one another in a lifestyle of discipleship to go ahead and keep doing what God asked you to do. And then to encourage that environment, I'll do everything I know how to do, and then I'll be learning to do, so that our environment together is fruitful. We can absorb the presence of God and become fruitful. All right. Think about that. Pray about that. At the end today, you can ask questions, you know, after we've had the elections and just before we go to the potluck. But think about it. Let it roll around a little bit. Usually I can't come up with questions right away. You know, Thursday or Friday, then there they are. But you may have that. Okay.